Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM with Gillette. When we show our best side, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Game on 2FM.
It's Wednesday, the 1st of April.
Coming up today, TJ Reid has 7 All-Irelands and 4 All-Stars, but more importantly right now, he's giving youngsters 2 skills sessions online a week.
TJ, 20 plays he was involved in, 1-9 he contributed, 1-3 from play, set up so much. Probably the most influential player in the country at the minute and deservedly man of the match, I think.
Yeah, he's a hero, and we've another one. He's a lion, he's an Irish and Munster icon, but his work on the farm keeps him sane these days. We catch up with the Bull, a.k.a. the great John Hayes.
Days like in Thomond Park in Lansdowne Road will definitely be missed, and definitely the crack around the team room and meeting up with all the lads every day. And
that's probably the best thing you can say about Hayes. When he retires, is, you know, he'll always be a friend to the fellas he played with, even though he won't answer his phone, but that's beside the point.
I hope he answers his phone later. Plus, we've UEFA's big meeting and Arsenal's Louise Quinn on life in lockdown.
Game on 2FM.
All that and much more before Picture This perform live at 7 o'clock for the ISPCC. You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game on 2FM. Marie, how are we doing?
I'm good, but I've taken... I'm actually desperate. I've taken to watching the craziest things that I can find now. So today I was watching this guy, a former world-class javelinist. He throws a javelin. James Campbell is his name. He was running a marathon in his back garden to raise funds for the NHS. And his back garden is 6 metres long. Oh, he's doing it in shuttles, going up and down and up and down. And I was watching it.
Okay, it's madness out of him for doing it, but it's worth that you watched it, isn't it?
Yeah, and there was a lot of people watching as well. Like, there was thousands of people, like, viewing it. And there was another guy in Italy a few weeks ago as well, and he did one on his balcony, 7 metres long, and he was going over and back and over and back, and people are mad.
It's mad what you're trying to make sport out of nowadays.
Yeah, and then, you know, I said I do like watching professional athletes exercise. Yeah. So the Watford team were on Sky Sports News last night and they were doing a watt bike session, and it was like the best television I'd seen in weeks. So they were all like taking it in turns. Their trainer was telling them what to do on the watt bike. So like Troy Deeney, who is one of the more experienced players, was kind of given a harder task than everybody else. It's great telly.
Do you know what? That's Satan invented the watt bike. There is absolutely no hiding place on a watt bike. It measures your power output, the whole wattage, of course. But it's just there's no wiggle room for it. You can't fool the machine. Like it's a horrible, horrible thing.
We said it a few times now for people who are been told to take home gym equipment. Do not take the watt bike. Don't be that person.
Grab anything. Grab a yoga ball.
Yeah.
That'll be the first thing out the door.
Crash pads. That's what I was thinking. They'd be perfect.
Do you know what's becoming a sport in our house? Building bases. Everyone seems to have a base at the moment.
You need some alone time.
To be fair, I nearly crawled into a base just to watch The Crown for the afternoon. I was getting cranky.
Yeah, it's tough. It is tough. Yeah. I'm going to get the bikes fixed, hopefully, in the next few days. There's a mobile bike service that's going to come around and fix our bikes, and we're going to get out cycling in the park, if we're allowed. I think we are.
There you go.
So as always, Donica, we have a bit of news every day. Today's latest news is that Wimbledon has been cancelled for the first time since World War II.
This is a shocker, I'll be completely honest. I know we're sports mad, but this is a part of the summer, isn't it? Like, it's... You know, go on about the strawberries and...
Ruby alluded to it last night that when it goes and if it goes, that people are going to be devastated because it marks the school holidays almost. You know, you go out and you take your tennis rackets onto the road and away you go.
Yeah, over the gate, see how you get on. But it's a pity to be losing stuff like that, isn't it? They're kind of landmark events in the year and, you know, they are sports and they're usually important, but... I think people that aren't even into sport, you can watch tennis, aren't you? There's some sports that are just easy to watch.
Yeah, people are into tennis. Yeah. It's one of those inclusive sports that people get on board with because I suppose it's like there's only a few really big players, so you can get into it very quickly.
It's enjoyable. You like to watch a good game of tennis as opposed to UFC, you know what I mean? You're there.
It's a great rally, get into something.
As opposed to what a knee shot to the chops.
That is a very good point.
Yeah.
Another bit of news as well is that the remainder of the 2019-20 Irish National Hunt racing season has been cancelled, including Ferry House and Punchestown. So that is another big blow for the industry. So no good news.
Yeah, we had Ruby and Frankie Dettori discussing it last night, and I don't think, both of them want what's right for the sport. Of course, they understand that the right thing has to be done for people's safety, but it was amazing to hear how many variables there is, you know, when it comes to horse racing, isn't it? The ground matters, the time of the year, it all feeds into it, and you just can't postpone it and push it down the line like you can do with other sports. So to be fair to them, making a call, and you know, like most sports, finding it tough now to reschedule and finding a spot for their event.
Ruby always says that horses are athletes, so I wonder what they do now.
Do you know what they do? They go to sun loungers. That's what all athletes do in their off time. You can just watch them all in a pair of Speedos hanging around.
Chilling out. Yeah, it's difficult. And I suppose from an Irish point of view, there was a lot of interest today in the UEFA meeting. They had a video call today with all the 55 nations, and they decided to suspend the Champions League, the Europa League, Euro 2020 qualifying playoffs, and these are all suspended indefinitely, and it includes the Republic of Ireland men's Euro 2020 playoff semi-final against Slovakia, and also the women's game against the Ukraine. They are bidding to qualify for the Euros. So to talk us through all of this, we are joined by Mark Langdon of the Racing Post and RTÉ's soccer correspondent Tony O'Donoghue. Tony, just to you first, because just from an Irish point of view, we were looking forward to it, then we weren't looking forward to it, looking forward to it again, and now we don't know when it's going to be on.
Although I've just heard, Marie, from UEFA that because we're a host nation, Slovakia, Bosnia and Northern Ireland have agreed that we should go through the playoffs.
You're joking.
Of course I am.
April Fools.
Okay, Tony.
I got you.
You did get me, you know, because we all need a little bit of hope, Tony.
You know, there's
and
been
that's
so little. There's been so little April Fools with it because this world is in such a crazy state. But there you go.
Yeah, I had a poor one this morning, Tony. I said to my kids, Miss Lucy, their principal, was just on the phone. You're going to school today. And I was expecting them to be gutted, and they all jumped up. Yes,
here
we go.
Oh, they were
delighted,
were they?
No.
Oh, dear.
That's mean.
Yours is worse. Yours is worse, Tony.
You see, there's a grain, there's a possible grain of truth in that. I mean, will UEFA, we often wonder when, you know, teams are seeded when they weren't supposed to be in playoffs and whatnot. We've been at the bad end of some decisions like this. Could there be any sort of loophole that would help us through this morass? But no, right now, the long finger has been called, and Ireland against Slovakia, God knows when it's going to be played. Obviously, I think today at the UEFA meeting, the consideration was mainly to try whatever they could do to get the domestic club seasons finished, to try and get a date for the Europa League and the Champions League to finish. Because, of course, these are huge contracts, huge broadcast contracts, and a huge amount riding on all of that. Not saying that international football isn't important, but maybe UEFA waking up to the fact of what does matter. So, yeah, we've got the usual dilemma now. We've spoken about it before on the show, but basically Stephen Kenny has a contract in writing, as he reminded us on his very first press conference when he was introduced to the media as the new Ireland under 21 manager and the next Ireland senior manager, that he had it in writing that he takes over on the 1st of August. Well, now we know that there is no chance of the game against Slovakia or Ireland's involvement with the Euros being decided by the 1st of August. It could be at least September, or maybe even later again. So what do we do? Do we stick with Mick, or do we back the new boss, Stephen Kenny? What's Stephen Kenny going to do? If he has a contract, then it's in writing. Is he going to ask that his contract be fulfilled in full? How are they going to come to a solution on this one? It's a legacy issue, you might say, but it's a difficult one nonetheless.
So, Tony, people will be talking about this now over the next few weeks because we don't really have anything else to talk about. But it is of huge interest. And what do you expect to happen? Like what further down the line, which will come pretty quickly, really, because this has came around pretty quickly, who will be the Republic of Ireland manager and who's going to be planning for our next game, which is even more important?
Yeah, I remember, you know, I mean, Stephen is involved with the under-21s and they're looking good. They're playing well. We look like we might have a crop of new talented youngsters that may be the future of Irish football. That's the hope, certainly. And probably the the crucial fixture in the under-21s campaigns will be the away game against Italy in October. That's where it's currently scheduled anyway. And it's time to be on the same evening that at the moment we're supposed to be playing in Finland, the senior international team. And I remember asking Stephen, you know, would he like it all to stay on with the under-21s since he steered them to such success so far? But he was... you know, it's a hypothetical question, but he was emphatic. He was going to be the new Ireland manager. So I think, you know, common sense will have to prevail. Let's not forget, Mick McCarthy and Stephen Kenny would have been, you know, two of the most high-profile people involved in the FAI who were told only yesterday that they're going to have to endure pay cuts, wage deferrals, certainly from next month, that 50% of their April wages will be deferred with a review at the end of the month. The highest earners in the FAI are going to lose half their pay, while those earning in excess of 48,000 will be hit with a 25% deferral. This is the real life now. I mean, the FAI were in crisis before COVID-19, and they remain in crisis. And as long as this goes on and no games can be played, no television revenue, and very little advertising and marketing revenue, we are in a dangerous situation. So I think common sense will have to prevail. I think, you know, Mick McCarthy will want to stay on. Imagine if he was forced out now. I'm not sure how well that would go down with the current squad, and I'm not sure it would be in Stephen Kenny's best interest to force the hand of the FAI to push himself into a role that, I mean, he is eminently suitable for, but perhaps in time. So I think the fairest thing is probably to let Mick at it. Regarding his contract and how much he's going to cost, that should be up for review and for discussion, certainly. But I think however long it takes, remember, we could be involved in the European Championship finals, fingers crossed. We could be there all the way till, is it the 11th of July 2021, the final in Wembley? So it could be a long time yet before Stephen Kenny does take the reins. But I think the transition needs to be a smooth one, and I think common sense will prevail.
Tony, I think paper, scissors, rock is the only way to sort it out. Marie mentioned we're also joined by Mark Langdon. Mark, the UEFA meeting today, Champions League, Europa Leagues, how are these going to finish up?
We don't know. I always felt that on that last call when they were talking about, you know, getting it done by the end of June and these playoffs early June, just felt very fanciful, really, when you were looking around, you know, what was going on in the world. I think this is a much more sensible decision now. They are looking still at being quite creative when it comes to finishing this tournament, which could be in July, it could be in August, who knows, it may even go on longer than that. But suggestions of maybe one-legged ties or maybe even a final four where they have the semi-finals and the final at the same venue over like a three-day period like you might get at a World Cup or European Championship. But one of the other sort of real hangovers from this and among the cleaning up process, and this will of course very much impact on Irish teams, is what are they going to do about the qualifying tournament for next season, because that usually takes place in those summer months. That looks highly unlikely, and UEFA really need to get the next Champions League, if you're thinking that, you know, that needs to be done before the European Championship starts. So it's going to be, I think, a very complicated calendar, and I would imagine that the Champions League and Europa League as we know it will kind of have probably the end of this season and for next season maybe different rules than what we've become accustomed to, whether that means a shorter qualifying process, maybe you know, fewer games in terms of knockouts. Certainly something we'll have to give here. You know, I think UEFA have always wanted to play, and for a long time now have wanted to play European matches at weekends. The clubs have fought back against that, but I suggest that they'll probably be looking to do something along those lines as well. But it's left them, it's not just about this season, it's also about, you know, really fitting the calendar in to the next kind of 15 months or so. It's not the biggest problem in the world, of course, but it's certainly a big one for UEFA at the moment.
And just in terms of the news cycle, Mark, it's moving really fast, and we don't have any sport, but it's changing and changing all the time. And like, just from your own point of view with the Racing Post, your job itself, the paper isn't in print at the moment, but you're still working, and I imagine very busy.
It's remarkably busy given that there's no sport going on. It's chaotic at the moment. I think, you know, when sport is going on and it's kind of scheduled, you know what your, you know, what your next day is going to be, what your next week and what your next month kind of looks like. And at the moment, it's not like that. You wake up and, you know, you've got a different thing to, you know, to write about, you know, every single day. I mean, I wouldn't have imagined that, you know, the Belarusian football would have become such a big talking point, and yet the fact that they're the only league in Europe still carrying on, you know, people want to know about it and they want to know why it's still going on, and you know, all the stories behind that. So yeah, even though the paper's gone into hibernation until sort of the horse racing and sport returns, now that the website and e-paper still really busy, and I can't wait to get back to a bit of normality, it has to be said.
Yeah, just looking at it as well, Tony, you know, UEFA's discussions today, from a player's point of view, if the season is extended beyond their contracts past June the 30th, what happens to those players?
Well, I think UEFA were referring to that, and they spoke about their licensing provisions and that, and I do think that contracts will be extended unilaterally across the board for clubs to maintain the services of players and all the legal implications and obligations that go with that. It's interesting, in our own league, the domestic SSE Electricity League season, due to resume on the 19th of June. I think even that now, it's terrible to say it, it's only the 1st of April, but even that may be optimistic, because obviously you'll need some pre-season and that. And so, you know, at least we know our Champions League and our Europa League representatives from last season, if you like. But yeah, this, what's going to happen is this, the backlog is going to go on and on and on. And we've got, of course, the complication, if you like, of the World Cup in Qatar in 2021, the 2022 World Cup, rather, the Winter World Cup. So it's I can just see this being a difficulty to try and fit all the games in, and the club versus country dilemma will become just into even more sharper focus, I think.
And Tony, we have Louise Quinn coming up on the show later on, but the women's game against Ukraine as well, also postponed.
Yeah, you know, I think any coach and any player will tell you momentum is so important, and I do feel that this Irish squad has it, and they really feel that they're on the brink of doing something historic. So it's going to be so tough for them to, you know, pull all around again. Well, having said that, we have some injured players as well, so maybe they'll look on the bright side and see that at the end of this, at least they'll have a fully fit squad to choose from. I think that Ukraine game was going to be the absolutely crucial crunch fixture for the women's game. And they, as I say, are in a position to do something that's never been done before, and a senior Irish women's team qualify for a major tournament's final. But that in itself is also going back to the 2021 Euros for the women is going to 2022. So, look, as I say, fixture chaos piled upon fixture chaos. This is going to be with us for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark and Tony, thanks so much for joining us on Game On. Tony might go handy on the April Fool's jokes. You're just dashing people's hopes.
Game on 2FM.
Okay, guys, welcome to PE and Skills with me, TJ Reid. I play that song because that song means so much to me, because when championship is around the corner, the sun game is on, the grass is getting greener, and we know hurling season is about to start. So that's the reason I played that song. I play that song every Tuesday and every Thursday until the hurling season is back up and running. So guys, thanks so much for logging on. There's boys from 4 years of age up to 12 years of age joining today. So the plan is we want to do 30, 35 minutes of a workout, okay? We're going to have basic JA skills and basic exercise movements. We're going to incorporate hurling skills with exercise movements. So the plan is to try and keep you fit and sharp over the next couple of weeks. So if you train with me every Tuesday and every Thursday, hoping that the hurling season, the football season, is going to be back in June, please God.
Now, that is the voice of Kilkenny hurler TJ Reid, who has emerged as a saviour for parents with his new PE class that combines hurling skills. Ireland's answer to Joe Wicks, and he joins us now on the line. TJ, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I wouldn't say Joe Wicks now. I'm well behind Joe Wicks, so I am. But look, I'm doing my best.
You're being modest, TJ. Myself and Marie were chatting about it, and we were saying fair play to Joe Wicks, but he doesn't have 7 All Irelands and 4 All Stars.
No, but I'm sure he's making more money than I am. So he is doing it. But yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
Dunica actually made a very good point. For young kids who love sport, especially hurling, it's like actually being trained in your sitting room with Messi. And I'm not overstating it. Like, my lads did it now and they absolutely loved it. What's the response been like?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, overwhelmed. It's gone from Ireland to America, as far as Texas, in Austin, to New York and these places. So I'm getting tweets and messages on social media from all over the world. So, you know, for me, just starting this last Tuesday, it was really just for our members in the gym in Kilkenny. So what could I do to help out the kids at home? So it was just to reach out to my members and to give something back to my members, because I have members who joined my gym over the last three years. So it was just something to give back to the kids, their kids. And then obviously once I announced it, well, the whole of Ireland got involved and the whole world got involved as well. So being overwhelmed, overwhelmed.
TJ, you might explain what exactly is happening, because Marie told me last night, I went out to check it out on your Facebook page, she had her three little boys, Timmy, Billy and Davey, doing the session. I took it on this morning with my three little girls and little boy, and in typical Cork fashion, I went on strike after a few minutes and I headed in for a few biscuits. But explain to people what you're doing.
Yeah, look, this, obviously, I suppose you heard the intro, so... It's just me now at the moment. So obviously hurling season is closed for the time being. So I'm out at my back garden the way I started when I was 4 or 5 years of age. And this is just bringing back memories of how I started off. And obviously at home now, I'm outside poking the ball at the gable end again. And so I said to myself, wouldn't it be great if we could do a few skills and incorporate then some exercise moves to keep kids fit and in shape until the hurling season comes back, hopefully in June, July. And it's incorporate hurling skills, football skills, and then obviously into some cardio and some strength movements as well, in terms of planks, burpees. I'm a big believer in core, so there'll be a lot of core in it. So your whole foundation starts with your core. So, and it's just 30-35 minutes of a session, and just really, I suppose, taking the kids away from the family just for 30-45 minutes away from the books. And for me, you know, when you go training, like yourself, Dunica, you go train, you forget about all your worries. So over the next few weeks, I won't be talking about what's going on out there, because I suppose there's enough people out there that are doing a great job on that. So for me, when you go training, it's about coming togged out, coming with a smile on your face and enjoying the 30 to 45 minutes of a workout and forgetting about what's going on out there and just training with a smile on your face.
Well, you're definitely putting smiles on lots of kids' faces around the country. It's been fantastic. But there is a reality there as well, TJ, and you are a business owner. It must be a very tough time for you.
Yeah, so if people didn't know, I have a gym in Kilkenny and a gym in Galway. And obviously myself and my business partner, Richard Connolly, had to make a decision to close up shop. Very tough. So on the back of that, we had to come up with another idea to how to engage with our members. So we started doing live Zoom online classes for our members and non-members as well. We have people, again, on the online Zoom classes, we have people from, again, Tipperary, Dublin, Kildare joining our live classes. And it's great for us because with Zoom, we can, I suppose, people at home in the sitting rooms can see us and we can see them working out at home in their living space and kitchen. And it's that connection, again, we're trying to hold on to that connection between coach to our members. And that's at the gate and getting a great response. So, and hopefully, you know, our members and non-members might appreciate that. And when we do open up the doors, hopefully in June, July, that all our members will come back to us.
TJ, we hear so much bad stuff about social media, but these unfortunate circumstances have led to the likes of yourself and the rest of the GAA and sporting community using it for the better of the community, like what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Again, I didn't think that it would get this much awareness, to be honest. It's amazing what the power of social media does. And yes, you know, obviously this is helping communities, this is helping families, this is helping kids. Just obviously fitness should be a big part in everyone's life because obviously exercise has that feel good factor after. So that's why I'm just trying to get across to all the kids for the next couple of weeks and the parents as well. Just get involved. Again, I said on Tuesday, you don't have to be the best hurler or football player out there, but just get involved, have fun, and just take part in something positive and something good.
TJ, we are always interviewing sports stars, and a lot of them, when they have an injury or they have a layoff of time, that they use it to try and improve an area of their game or to build up something somewhere else. What are you doing for your own game during this time?
Yeah, I suppose for me, it's trying to keep fit and sharp, of course. So obviously the classes, I'm doing 2 to 3 live classes a day at the moment. So I'm nearly doing 1,000 burpees a day at the moment. So I'm keeping fit that way. And obviously the classes on the Tuesday and Thursday, again, with the classes, I take part in them as well, because obviously it's great to have that member senior coach going through the pace as well. Then obviously at home, the long evens are coming in now, so you're at home just striking the ball off the wall. So you're just going back to basics, you know. You see social media at the moment, and all the rugby players are getting gym equipment sent to them to keep up their conditioning over the next few months. So you're really just stripping down everything, and you're really just, I suppose, you're really going back to basics here, to be honest, because there's no one else around you. You have no coach motivating you. You have no strength and conditioning coach giving you your programs. So you're literally just starting from scratch again and doing what you can. And I always say to people, try and prioritize, you know, 30 to 45 minutes a day just to get something in, because we all know at the moment it's long enough staying inside, watching TV or sitting down. So it is good to just prioritize that 30 minutes or that hour of just getting outside and just taking in the fresh air and trying to think a little bit more positive than the negative at the moment.
TJ, we're seeing lots of managers and hearing about lots of managers who are taking team sessions on over the internet, a lot of them on Zoom. I'd love to see Brian Cody on Zoom. Is he on it?
I don't think he knows what it is. look, we've totally cancelled everything, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm not quite sure what other teams are doing. But, yeah, we're just taking the responsibilities ourselves. And I think that's the beauty about GAA players, is that when we were growing up, we had a coach telling us what to do in terms of, right, you're up at training at 6 o'clock in the morning, do your recovery session, do your gym session. And any sporting players out there will take that on board and be responsible for their actions. So I think over this whole coronavirus about staying in and washing your hands, I think people who are involved in sports kind of take it on a little bit quicker, because all their lives they've been told to do X, Y, and Z, and they'll do it because it's you're sacrificing yourself for that bigger achievement. And obviously, at the moment, we're sacrificing heading out and meeting friends, and hopefully the big picture in June and July, we'll all be celebrating the nation, and hopefully this dreadful thing will be gone.
Absolutely. We're all looking forward to that date. Just on Brian Cody, is he getting a little bit soft between yourself and Aidan Fogarty turning into Joe Wicks and Michael Flatley? How's it being received by the lads in the training room?
Well, the beauty about Brian Cody, he's not on social media, so so I hope he doesn't see us. So I hope he doesn't see me. But I'm sure Brian is a GA man, and he's always a big believer of leadership. And then obviously he always says to players, be a leader on the field and be a leader off the field. So for me, at the moment, I'm giving something back to kids. So I'm sure Brian would be giving me applause for what I'm doing at the moment. If I was doing something different on social media, I'm sure I'd be getting a curly finger when I'm back to training in June and July.
And TJ, just before we let you go, we are talking quite a lot as well about a potential knockout championship. Do you think that that's something that Kilkenny would enjoy?
Yeah, look, we take it on board. If it's knockout, we'll prepare for knockout. So look, we don't know. And for me, I'm just taking each day as it comes. If it comes around in June, July, and it's knockout, I'll be ready. So there's not much, I suppose, you can do at the moment. To only hope that something will happen in June, July, because obviously it will give the whole of Ireland a big lift if the football championship goes ahead and the hurling season goes ahead. Because, as I said, at the moment, everyone is feeling the effects. So it would give everybody a big lift, but it's hard to see it. It is hard to see it, but if it does, I'd be hoping it does come around, because there's nothing better heading out there in June, July and celebrating and keeping people happy.
Absolutely. TJ, thanks so much for joining us on Game On. On behalf of all the sporting parents around the country, thanks a million for what you're doing every Tuesday and Thursday on Facebook. Well worth to watch. Getting to train with one of the best, and incredibly enjoyable. Continued success.
Thanks very much. Yeah, so it's on Tuesday and Thursday at 12 o'clock. So come togged out. So I hope them all Tuesday to wear their favourite GA jersey or club jersey. And so yeah, just wear your normal GA jersey and have fun.
The O'Callaghans will be in the blood and bandage down in Cork, ready to go.
Deadly. Can't wait.
Thanks, TJ.
Thanks very much.
See you now.
Long.
Game on 2FM.
Welcome back to Game On. We just heard from TJ Reid there. And the one thing that I took away from it, Donica, is that he's doing 1,000 burpees a day.
Oh, yuck.
Did you do 1,000 burpees in your career?
No, do 1,000 burpees in the season. It's grand for TJ Reid when he weighs about 10, 11 stone. It was like Frankie Dettori last night going on that, ooh, my weight's up, I'm weighing in at 9 stone 3. And I was thinking, I weighed 9 stone when I was 9.
Maybe he had a weight envy.
Absolutely. We've got to move on. Up next, it's one of the greatest Irish rugby players of all time. 105 caps for our country, 4 Triple Crowns, 1 Grand Slam, 2 European Cups. You could go on and on and on. But what makes John Hayes different is the respect he has earned from his teammates, oppositions and supporters alike. He swapped his rugby boots for wellies, scrummaging for spreading slurry, and he joins us now. John, how are you?
Good evening, very good, yeah, thank you.
Come on.
You did plenty of burpees, I'd say, for all the passes and balls you dropped in training. You should have done more of them.
You're not wrong. Marie just made out the point. Marie, that was the punishment. If you threw a bad pass, it was on you to mark it. No one kind of pulled you up on it. And as Hayes is saying there, I would have had one or two, Hayes.
It kept you fit, and it kept the touch taken over there.
John, we'll get into all the rugby side of it first, but I'd say you're delighted to hear that, you know, cattle marts are back up and I'm running in the country again, essential farm business being done.
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, it is a huge challenging time for everybody in society, you know, but it's the time of year for farmers that cattle would have been coming out of sheds and going to grass, and fellas, as people that need cattle for grass, we're hoping to buy them. So it's good that they are up and running again, then some sort of trade and dealing can be done.
And as well as that, John, I know people are staying away from each other, but it's good to see people out at the marts and out when you are doing your business as well, because lots of farmers might be isolated.
Oh, they absolutely are isolated. It's a fact that's been recognised so much over the last number of years, the way some farming situations have changed, that people have got older and they are at home on their own, and there are certain days of the week and for long periods of time where you mightn't actually meet anybody, only somebody who might call in for business or whatever. So the mart has always been a great day out, wherever it is in your local area, whatever day of the week. people work around it, and it's a great social day out and someplace to go and meet people.
So obviously, like, knowing you so well, I know how important farming and agriculture is to you. But one thing that stands out, and one thing I always remember, was the Wednesday night out when we'd go for food as a squad, and you'd grill the waiter about where they got their beef, and you'd get odd if it wasn't Irish beef in any restaurant we went to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I suppose you had to have beef on the menu first anyway, and every one of you better have beef as well. But then, other than that, here in Ireland, we do produce some of the best beef in the world, if not definitely the best beef in the world. And, you know, you do like to see is on the menus in restaurants that it is labelled and letting people know that it is Irish and how good it is. So if they weren't doing it, you know, they're not really helping out a huge part of rural Ireland and a great industry for us.
So, John, how are you doing? I know you're back at the farm, but you never really went away from it that much. I remember myself and Rog got lost one time and ended up calling out to you one day, and, you know, it was one of our half days, but you were working. So it hasn't been a major transition for you leaving rugby, has it?
It is a major transition because, you know, rugby's full-time. There's so much travel involved in where you're away, but I always did keep my hand in some bit. I was always doing something living here at home. Like I said, there half days, days off, and weekends. Like, I would have been getting involved and trying to keep something done. But it is a change when you do retire, and it's just now it's your full time job. It is different because there's, like we've said already, there's no travelling. You're not you don't get a day sheet, and you're not heading on the airport every weekend heading off someplace. You really are just at home the whole time.
John Dunica loved the half days for the naps, he's told us many a times. But he also said that he missed the physical contact when he stopped playing. What for you is the one thing that you crave from the game?
Look, there's different things. You look at it at times when you see the big games in Thomond Park or Bovendie Aviva, and you do miss those occasions. Like, they're just absolutely special with the crowd, to be involved in those. But I think what will be coming up now in the summertime, well, that's a little bit unknown at the moment. No, I definitely don't miss any of it. It's the pre-season. Anyway, that thing, that was the one period of the year that I always just had to get through it as quick as I could and get back to playing games. Like Dunner said then, the context and stuff like that, just playing the matches is what it's all about. I just love doing that as much as I could.
John, you're always perceived, and rightly so, for being a bit quiet and shy, and, you know, like, the ego gets probably to the rest of us, and we always wanted to be front and centre. But I don't think there's ever been in a dressing room with someone that has broke into more groups. When you've the likes of young guys like Keith Earls coming in and asking where's Hayes, and older guys always wanting to pal around with you, what do you think that's been down to?
I've no idea. Is that true, is it? Look, I think where we came through, like for the in Munster especially, and with Ireland where we played, there was a great culture there of crack amongst all the players, and that again is something else that you'd miss now that it is over. Is I don't think there's any other job, a profession that you'd ever go into where you can carry on and act like a schoolboy till you're in your mid-30s, having the crack every day, going in and out to train and on the bus. So I think just everybody got on really well from, I don't think age mattered, it was just where you were and you just got on with it.
Yeah, and looking at it now, John, there's been an awful lot of change. You look at the Munster set up now, the High Performance Centre, the XL, the profession, it's really stepped up. Would you like to be in that side of it, or are you a bit like me, you like the old school side of it?
I suppose if you were coming through again as a young fella, I'd say I'd love to be involved in the new setup. I think it's just there's such opportunity there now that you can actually challenge yourself and improve. I suppose there's times when we look back, we did enjoy travelling, getting a text message on the morning of the match or the morning of the train. You wouldn't know train, it could have been moved because of a wet pitch or something like that, and driving to Cork and Limerick. But you know, now those guys just travel into UL and everything world class, state of the art facilities are there. So I think if you were involved in that now, you would absolutely love it. But when you look back as old retired fellas, you can laugh and enjoy it of what we went through getting ready for training in God knows any pitch wherever you might have had to find the drive on.
Was that part of what made you special, like that you were almost, you did it against the odds?
Yeah, I'd say there probably was a bit of that, that we didn't make excuses, I suppose, was the thing. You know, we always knew that something could be thrown at us because of not having a a specific training centre like what the boys have now, that you did have to know, and that when you did get to a different ground, wherever it might be. I remember Quinny even got us one time when the grounds were really wet, he got us Clanwilliam because it's such a dry, sandy pitch. And you just literally have to drive out there and just get on with training and don't make excuses that the facilities or the gear that you're used to having or whatever like that isn't there. You just find a way and you get through it. And I suppose if that gets thrown at you in a game or whatever, you're just able to adapt with all those kind of things.
Hayes, we hear it so much now, especially for young players, and you're probably the greatest guy to speak about it. You know, maybe the excuse that you don't make schools or your local club, or that you don't pick up rugby till quite late, but you were someone that took to the game late and had an incredible career. You know, what would you say to players that kind of come to rugby late?
Oh, absolutely. There's, like, maybe it's changing a bit now because the IRFU are so active in trying to spot talent, if whatever, in clubs and schools at a younger age and trying to bring them through that system. But there's still players that are going to develop later through different paths. And to those players, definitely don't give up. Keep trying, because the IL is still there, and you can see if you're playing well in that, you can get picked up. And like I said, I'd say the IFU would still be well advised to keep looking at those players, because they are there, and the players can develop later in their career, that they mightn't all be superstars at 18 or 19, but at the time they're 22 or 3, they could develop into great players, and they're still young enough to have a big career at that stage.
And John, from your own point of view, I know Fiona does a bit of coaching, your wife Fiona Steed. Are you doing any, or is it something that you would like to do?
I do. I help out in Brough, which is our club where I started out. I help out sometimes with the seniors, but I suppose my only official role there is one of four joint coaches of the under-8s where my son Bill plays on. So that's a fair challenge every Sunday morning up in Brough, trying to keep them in check and trying to organise them. It's actually a great crack and a great challenge.
I just love hearing that, though, that someone like of your calibre is down training the under-8s in Brough. You know, it's right for the next generation, isn't it, to give back, especially at that underage level?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. You need to see the numbers we have some days there, even all during the winter it's been called off. Now it's been so stop-start because of bad weather and stuff, but we had 35 and 36 players under-8s like turning up, and there's the under-7s. They're just the under-8s. There's under-7s as well as that, below that again, like, so there's great numbers, and it's great to be involved to see them turning up. They're so excited, looking forward to a career, and you just hope to give them an old start and point them in the right direction.
John, we are in the middle of a crisis, and on several occasions we've given a nod to our frontline staff, and from my understanding, Fiona is one of those. I know she works in the medical profession. How's she doing?
She's doing, yeah, she's working hard. You know, she's working in UL Hospital, and they know there could be huge challenges coming down the track in the next week or two. They're aware of that, that every day it's getting more and more challenging, and they're trying to get as prepared as they can for what might happen in the next couple of weeks if it starts to peak or whatever. So, you know, like, they really have stepped up. They realise what's coming, and all the staff that are working in the front line, as they're being called now, really have to be commended for what they're facing into and trying to prepare us as best as we can, that when it does get better, where we are giving people as best chances they can with care in the hospitals in Ireland.
Yeah, fair play to her. John, we're tight in time, but if you had to pick a highlight, I know it's hard, you know, but something over the career that you would have looked back and have fond memories of?
Look, there's been loads of them, John. We played together, obviously, for lots of them, but I think as teams, they are really huge that you share with your mates and all that. But I think from just like what you spoke of earlier about my career, I think when I did eventually get capped first time against, which is exactly 20 years ago now, in 2000 against Scotland, I think that day, getting told the week before by Warren Gatlin was coach on the Tuesday, I think it was, and that week leading into your first cap when you know what's happening, I think that's the most special time anyone can have in their career, the first time you get to play for Ireland, especially in a Six Nations game. That was, for me, would be the highlight.
Yeah, absolutely. John, thanks so much for joining us on Game On. Thanks for being an unbelievable teammate. Mind yourself, look after Fiona and the family.
Well, and we'll chat to you soon.
Thanks, John.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Game On
2FM. Welcome back to Game On. It's great to chat to John Hayes there, Marie. You never get to tell people, though, how much you really appreciate him. And for me, he was one of the greatest guys you could have had in your dressing room. Like you said there, never made excuses, never kind of was always honest in his acts, and just one of the greatest fellas to be around.
They don't make him like him anymore, do they?
Well, it'd be handy if they did. The size of him.
True, very true. Yeah, and Fiona as well, working in the hospital now.
Yeah, frontline stuff, yeah. So it's, but look, there's so many cases of that. And look, Fiona as well has an incredible career for Ireland. And I'm just so excited about those kids coming through. You just know that it's like the perfect gene pool for excellence.
Yeah, and she's not bad at the punditry either, I'll give her that. Now, so speaking of sport and professional sport, for us, really, it's just a hobby, Donegha. So when it's not... When it's not on, it's no big deal. But there are plenty of people who it's their careers and their lives. And one of them is Louise Quinn, who plays for the Republic of Ireland and for Arsenal. And she joins us on the line now to give us a bit of an insight into what life is like when your job is and your way of life is taken away from you. Louise, how are you?
Hi, Marie. How's things?
Good. Look, first of all, before we get into what you're up to, we know that you're in the UK and that today was a really bad day for the coronavirus. 563 deaths today, the highest rise. Like, how are you doing over there?
Yeah, listen, it's still something you can't kind of fathom at the moment. It's just a crazy experience for everyone. And obviously just very, very, very scary. But like, you just know that over here that the NHS are just doing their best, and we've all just got to take each day as it comes with this. So it's tough watching the news and all that stuff. I think I have kind of dialed that down a little bit, because it's just incredibly tough to look at and see all the time, and just very quite worrying. But hopefully if we just do our best to look after each other and look after ourselves, hopefully we can get it to pass, sooner rather than later.
Yeah, absolutely, Louise. Whatever about being around your family and not being able to, get to them, you being away from home, how are your family coping with that?
Yeah, it's been difficult. Thankfully they're definitely doing their best. They're self-isolating, and we're kind of, out just a little bit of the countryside, so they still have that bit of, freedom at least to go for some nice walks and this, that and the other. But it's been very tough, and obviously I'd love to be home. My other sister lives in Australia at the moment as well, so there's just one sister at home with my parents. So it's very, very tough. But I think we're also very fortunate. We are all in good health, and it's just hoping that everyone can get through it, as safely as possible. And I know that they're doing their best doing that. And we've just had a lot of FaceTimes and a lot of good phone calls, good chats, and it's just something that we're all adapting to. It's so different and it's so difficult, but yeah, missing them massively. But I know that they're keeping safe. So
Louise, just today we heard that the UEFA had postponed most of their major tournaments and qualifying games, and your one against the Ukraine is one of them that is postponed. Just from your own point of view, we talk about momentum and how well things were going. It's kind of difficult from a timing point of view.
Yeah, I suppose so. Exactly. As you said, the momentum we've had has been brilliant, and the campaign so far has just been definitely going in the right direction for us. But again, this is just something that you can't, you can't explain. And it's, at times you kind of feel like it's maybe only happened to you, but it's worldwide, and there's the people that have it a hell of a lot worse. And I know, like, I'm, I'm a sport fanatic, I'm everything, but at the moment it's, that's kind of just at the back of my mind. Obviously, to keep fit and all that, I enjoy doing that anyway. But literally, it is just to make sure that everyone's okay. It's disappointing, and you just want to get back going and get back to normal. But I'm sure it'll also be something where we can look back and be, hopefully when we qualify for the Euros now, we'll be looking back and it'll be, and we've gotten through this tough time. Qualification under these circumstances will make it, that even bit more sweeter for us then, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. Look, Louise, take care. We don't have any more time, unfortunately. But I must say that I know you've taken home some gym equipment, and if you could start posting some sessions on the watt bike, I'm in the market for something to watch tomorrow.
Boxing gloves.
Stuff. Yeah, no, I'll do. I'll get as much up now. We have the. I also have a keyboard. Is that what I post?
Oh, yeah, both that. Yeah, the watt bike and a keyboard. Oh, yeah. Perfect.
The keyboard with the boxing gloves on.
Yeah.
Louise, thanks so much and best of luck. We really appreciate you taking the call.
Grand, thanks, folks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's it from all of us tonight on Game On. We're back tomorrow night at 6.
Game On 2FM.